Hello, everyone. Thank you for tuning in to the New Mainstream podcast, where we explore the impact of multicultural consumers on marketing and media. I'm your host, Mario Carrasco, and co-founder of Think Now. Today, our guest is Shelley Forrester, founder and CEO of Forrester Network. Welcome, Shelley. How are you?
Mario, I'm great. Thank you. Fantastic to be here with you today.
Thanks for coming on. We spoke a little bit prior to the podcast. I'm really excited to introduce you and your business to our listeners. Before we jump in, tell us about your career, Forrester Network. How did you get to where you are, Shelley?
Okay, great question. Thank you. So I'll start with the present and work my way back. So I started Forrester Network 28 years ago. It is a boutique qualitative research and insight company. And I started the business because I had a lot of clients, and I was working at a consulting company, and a lot of our clients and internal people were afraid to talk to anybody. So everybody was doing data analysis and very comfortable with numbers, but nobody wanted to pick up the phone and talk to a stranger. And I'm perfectly comfortable doing that. In fact, it's one of my favorite things to do. So I found this niche for starting the business. And as I say, I've been at it for 28 years. And prior to starting the business, I started my career in marketing research and then brand management at Colgate-Palmolive. And I was in the New York office and then worked in the German office for 3 years, which I still say were three of the best years of my life. And then when we got back from Europe, I started working at Marketing Corporation of America, which was a consulting company. And you know, Mario, when I was about 2 weeks ago, somebody else asked me to sort of take him through my personal journey. And as I was talking, I said to him, you know, I couldn't have scripted this better myself. And he said to me, yeah, that's what we call a calling.
I love it. I mean, it's incredible to have you on. I feel, you know, our listeners, it's about half and half, half market researchers, half on the client side. So it's great you have both perspectives. And, you know, 28 years, that's amazing for any business, let alone the market research industry, which, as you know, we have businesses come and go. And one of the things I found really fascinating was your resiliency. You know, we talked about a little bit about, you know, the financial crisis in 2008. Of course, we're recording this in the midst of the pandemic. But you have experience. You've experienced up and downs. So while the pandemic is new to everybody, from a business perspective, it's something you've experienced before, maybe not this extreme. Tell us a little bit about, for the entrepreneurs out there, you know, how have you pivoted your business during the pandemic, given that it's a, like you mentioned in the introduction, it's a very interactive business that you have, right? Meeting people. I mean, how have you pivoted now that we can't see people face to face?
So, you know, I was thinking about this because prior to 2008, of course, there was 9/11, which from one day to the next, business stopped. And nobody was getting on a plane. People were, if they were doing business in LA, they were sitting there for 2 weeks, not being back in their office. So the first thing was, whatever day it was, March 6th or 7th, it was like, oh, I won't use that expletive. I've been here before. So I don't know if I laughed or I cried, but I took a deep breath and I said, okay, so what does this all mean? So, you know, one of the things that is so fantastic about the market research industry is that everything we ever wanted to do, we can already do online. And there are new tools and techniques being developed all the time and improvements being made. And of course, we still have a telephone. So for the first time in 28 years, I had booked my entire financial year in the middle of February. I was so excited about that. And by March 7th, it was down to zero. So it just was a matter of pivoting completely to online, getting on with Zoom like everybody else is. And, you know, fortunately, you know, we used to say that it's Gen Z and millennials who are the digital natives. And, you know, now everybody's a digital native. Everybody knows how to use Zoom. Everybody can make a FaceTime call. And of course, you know, the telephone is still very much there. And so everything we want to do, I contend, were doing just as well online as we were in person. It might not be as much fun. The energy level might be different, but it's still very doable.
And I think your attitude is great. I think, I don't know if it's rare, but I know that there's people out there that have a fear of, especially somebody that's been doing qualitative research in person their whole career. Was there any fear there when you know, pivoting, or did you just kind of jump in and say, I'm going to do this? I mean, what, walk us through your mindset.
So no, I won't say there was any fear. I mean, I have fear of a lot of things, like falling out of an airplane, but I don't fear like, oh my gosh, I'm never going to have any business again. And I'm very close to my son, and you know, we were talking about, so what does this mean for me financially? And he said, look, Mom, if it used to be a 5-year plan, now it's a 10-year plan. If it used to be a 20-year plan, now it's a 40-year plan, which really made me relax a lot, because it was like, okay, so if it takes a little longer for the business to come back, it takes a little longer for the business to come back. The other thing is, fortunately, I'm not alone in this. So there are a lot of people who are either doing very well who I could tap into, or there are other people who aren't doing well and we can help each other. So, you know, there's this big social safety network that we all have. And especially at times like this, I think we really need to jump in and tap into it. And I've never had anybody say no.
I love that. And I think that was one of the things that really stuck with me about our previous conversations. You know, I'm an introvert, admittedly. When the pandemic hit, you know, I kind of buckled down, focused on the work, thinking, okay, we're going to be out of this in a couple months. When the reality hit that this is not a couple months, this is going to be a while, I started making a real effort to connect with people, connect online, do some networking. This sounds like it's, you know, very natural for you, Shelley. You're a networker. How important has socializing, talking to other researchers, talking to your son? I mean, how have you shifted that aspect of your life, going from, you know, in person to online? Can you give us some tips on how to socialize in this new normal, quote unquote?
Sure. So I talk to my son every day. So maybe what we talk about now is a little different, but you know, that's always been a constant. But when it comes to market research, so first of all, the market research industry has so many webinars and so many things going on that we could be busy all day long, 5 days a week, probably 7 days a week, because we didn't watch them all and we're catching up on the other ones. And so I have found that the market research industry, and maybe we were always this way, but we were all too busy and we didn't realize it, but everybody is so open and so helpful and so willing to share and so willing to talk. And I have met so many people through webinars and LinkedIn, which of course is how I met you, Mario, which is through Priscilla. And so people are just much more willing to share and be open. And the trick to the whole thing is asking people if they'll talk to you. I've one person, and I talk to a lot of people, one person said, well, I'll only talk to you if you're interested in the services that I sell. And I thought, oh, that's really too bad, because maybe I'm not, but my new friend Mario is. But everybody else is, we're all in the same boat, whether we want to admit it or not. So everybody is very willing to talk. It's really a matter of just asking. And the other thing is just trust that the conversation will evolve. It always evolves. You know, I mean, if you're sitting there and looking at somebody on a video chat and they're wearing an interesting sweater, or they've got, you know, a garment bag behind them, you can ask them if they're traveling. So there's always something to talk about. And it always comes back to business, because we always ask each other, how can I help you? Sometimes people don't have an answer. So my suggestion to your audience is have an answer when somebody asks you. And it doesn't necessarily have to be business. I mean, maybe you're talking to somebody in the local area and you're looking for a new PR firm, or you're looking for, I don't know, you're looking for a painter. This is the social condition of human beings, is that we want to help and we're here to help each other. And so I would say, don't be afraid, just ask for the call and trust that it's going to go well.
I love that, because one of the things that's come out of the pandemic that I think is a positive you touched on how I feel like lack of better words, the kind of BS when we first meet people, like, oh, what do you do? What do you provide? That's kind of out the window. Connections, I feel like, feel much more human now, right? Like, we ask about how people are doing, how are they feeling during all this? Like, I don't know. I don't know if you've sensed that as well, that it just people are much more open to talk about real things as opposed to keeping it like that surface level, give me your business card, I give you mine. Have you experienced that as well?
Absolutely. And I totally agree with you. I mean, the question, you know, I was dating somebody who lives in California, and I don't remember what I said to him. You know, we ask each other, what do you do for a living? And he said, well, but you know, in California, we ask each other, like, what's your favorite spiritual practice, right? So yeah, I don't know what you guys have been asking each other in LA, Mario, but I think, yes, you know, it's come down to, and we really want to know, like, how are you doing? I mean, you know, we are all in this together. I'm really glad that we've stopped saying that on national television, because the people who were saying it weren't living up to it. But yes, it all starts with how are you doing? And you never know what people are going to answer. And, you know, some people are doing great. And if they're doing great, we ought to know why they're doing great. And we ought to be happy for them that they're doing great. And for all of my friends and all of my business associates and everybody in the world who is doing great, I say amen, because somebody has to keep the economy going.
100%, 100%. Yeah. And, you know, this show, we typically talk a little bit about multicultural marketing. I invited you on because you have a different perspective. You know, you focus more on B2B, but now I know you've been getting more multicultural requests, given what's happened this year from a social justice perspective. But I think it's important to talk to people how they handle multicultural requests when that's not necessarily you know, a focus of your business. So can you tell us a little bit about how you've been handling kind of the influx of requests from a multicultural perspective? What is your go-to?
So I do both consumer and B2B, and because mostly what I do is qualitative, I'm not even sure that we think about it in terms of multicultural, right? We think about it in terms of diversity, and we're looking for a mix of age and race and ethnicity, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, I was thinking about this too, because I always say people show up for a reason. So sometimes they're not the people that we recruited. We have met, and we never, ever, as far as I know, in 28 years, I've never recruited for disabled people, and yet they show up, right? So everybody shows up for a reason. And when it comes to multicultural, you know, one of the things is people will say to me, hey, I know you don't do this, but do you know anybody who does X? And so for every call I get, Mario, you know, you are on the list, right? Because you've got this multicultural database and panel, which I don't know if you're a well-kept secret, but I hope you aren't. Because, you know, a lot of people in the industry say, oh, well, it's so hard to find these people. Well, maybe we don't know where to look for them. And so you do. So that is a fantastic service that you offer. And the other thing I'm going to say is, you know, there's all of this D&I conversation that's going on internally, but there's a lot of external conversation as well, not just about what the advertising is and how are we communicating authentically with our customers or consumers, but there's also the customer service. It's a big equation because people have to be trained to accept who's on the phone and asking for help. And so it's not going to go away, and it's only going to get bigger. And I love that people are asking about it.
That's great. That's great. And you're right. I think that's something common in our industry that we fall to, that it's, you know, it's hard to recruit X person. But the reality is there are experts out there. There are people focused on recruiting from a qualitative perspective, from a quantitative perspective. So that's some great advice. you know, one thing that really struck me meeting you is your positive energy. I mean, it's coming off. I'm sure people listening in the podcast are like, what is she doing? What is she doing to stay so positive? And we talked a little bit about mental health. You gave some great tips. And that's another thing that we don't talk a lot about, right? I feel like obviously in the pandemic, we're all having our challenges from a mental health perspective. But for some reason, I feel like it's a little bit more in the market research industry, just the stress. And you mentioned even a survey that I think it would be great if you talk a little bit about that. But what are some things we can do as market researchers to stay positive? I mean, from a mental health perspective.
So that was a big question. I ask big questions too. So now I know what they sound like. Thank you for asking all of that.
That's why I'm not a qualitative researcher. It's too big of a question.
So let me say something about that study. So I'm pretty sure it was the Insights Association.
Yeah.
And I think it was a couple of different market research companies and HR companies that did some research. And it was a national study. And one of the things they found was that the market research industry has a bigger mental health issue than the nation as a whole, which to me is astounding and horrifying. And the other thing it found is that younger people have more of a mental health concern than older people, which I guess makes sense from an experience standpoint. I don't really know what else is driving that. Maybe there's a financial aspect to it as well. I don't know. You know, my mother died in 2008 in hospice, and part of the hospice experience is you get a bereavement counselor. And I met this woman who's still a very good friend of mine, and she really helped me put things in perspective and work through problems. And so part of my positivity and my resilience really comes from the training I got from her. Some of it is meditation, some of it is journaling. And just recently, I've listened to a couple of, I'll call them mindful moments webinars. And here are some of the things that I've started doing recently that, I mean, I can't believe how big a difference they make. The first thing is I was on a webinar and the woman said, okay, I'm going to give you 10 mindful moments. And the first one is when you wake up in the morning, the first thing you should do is smile. Okay, I really don't know what I do when I first wake up in the morning. Maybe I've always smiled. I doubt it. But I wake up and I smile. Oh my gosh. I mean, like suddenly I'm so happy and I'm so relaxed. And then the second thing she said is follow that up with a deep breath, which I'm not entirely sure, but I think you're also supposed to do this deep breath while you're smiling. And so one of the things they said is that when you're smiling and you're deep breathing, it relieves some of the cortisol. So sometimes we wake up in the morning and, like, you know, we're panicked because, you know, the cortisol is shooting through us. And this is something that relaxes us. The next thing is, I mean, I get up in the morning and then I have two cups of coffee. Well, so I heard on, I think it was a Green Book webinar, a Canadian javelin Olympic star was talking about how she gets her morning started. And she starts with 16 ounces of lime salt water. Mario, this is another thing. I mean, it takes me, 30 seconds to make it and drink it. It is so unbelievably hydrating. My entire body is thanking me. The other thing she recommended, which I actually wasn't going to do till spring, but she recommended having a cold shower. And she said, start with 40 seconds. And the thing that really got me to try it and love it is she said to have the water hit the back of your neck. And six deep breaths while it's doing that, because that's what 40 seconds equals. And then I'm a big coffee drinker. And my friend's daughter just started a program. It was a 10-day program. And day six was just how to be present and mindful while you're preparing the cup of coffee. And all of these things are very tiny. I don't know if they sound like a lot, but they make a huge difference. And, you know, people say, I can't meditate for 20 minutes. I can't journal for 20 minutes. Fine, then don't. Do something that you want to do, makes you feel good, and is easy to incorporate into your life.
I love it. I thought about that smiling one today. And it's so true. I think we just roll out of bed kind of like, I mean, for me, it takes me half an hour to just kind of wake up, get my coffee, do my workout or whatever. But smiling can just change your whole perspective on the day.
Are you smiling now, Mario?
I am. I am too. Smiling right now. I am smiling. Great. This, you know, believe it or not, we hit our time already, Shelley. Had a wonderful conversation with you. Thank you for joining. For those that want to kind of dig in, learn more about your company, find you, what's the best way to find you online, connect with you online?
So first thing is I'm Shelley Forrester. So find me on LinkedIn. I will link in with you. Invite me to a call. If you don't, I'll invite you. And the other thing is my website, which is ForresterNetwork.com. And so it describes more about what I do and who I am. And also it's more ways to find me, which I hope your listeners will do.
Great. Thanks again for joining, Shelley. Thank you, everybody, for listening.
Thank you, Mario. Have a beautiful day.
You too.
Thanks. Ciao.
Thanks to everyone listening in. To get more multicultural insights, check us out at thinknow.com and follow us on social media. You can also subscribe to this podcast on your favorite platform. Final thank you to our producer, Lucas Martinez, who created our intro music and makes our podcast sound great. To email him, reach out to martinez.lucas.a@gmail.com.